Thanks, all. It's been a really powerful day, and I have a little Thanksgiving prayer for you. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey plump. May the potatoes and gravy have ne'er a lump. May your... Whoops, it just disappeared. May your yams be delicious and your pies take the prize. And may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. I did a funny, Ron, I know, huh? Here's this. Yes. Okay. And here's for the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. And as we express gratitude this day, we must not forget about the turkey who also gave a life to be on this plate. So thanks to the wonderful turkey and the pumpkin, too. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Oh, my, my, my. All right. Well, we've already had a pretty full day. So I'm going to try and pare down my words, which could sometimes be a little challenging. But I want to start by telling you a prophetic word I read this week that resonated with what I felt like God had already put on my heart. And Mark here is assisting us this morning, and you'll understand why in a minute. But let me just read this. This is James Gall. And he says, I believe we're entering an apostolic era when open heavens are going to break wide open over cities. There will be teaching, revelation, expressions, and experiences on this on a scale unseen, at least since the New Testament days. I think it's taped shut. It's okay. If at least since, let me put that back, since New Testament days, if ever, okay? Homes, families, congregations, parks, hospitals, city halls, all will become ground zero for open heaven manifestations. I have faith for this divine realm to be extended over the entire regions for protracted periods of time. And then he goes on, but this is the part I want to just release, that I have learned that one very important principle is that before there can ever be an open heaven over a congregation or a city or a nation, that there is first an open heaven over a person or a people, so or a congregation. So what kind of person might have an open heaven over them? It's someone who becomes radically undone in the Lord. Someone who is absolutely wasted on Jesus. When, you know, there's never a moment wasted in Jesus. It's can you allow this? You know? Okay, so whenever heaven opens over an individual, they carry that open heaven with them wherever they go, and the climate becomes changed. They become history makers. God is looking for candidates in this generation who will be seated with Christ in heavenly places and call forth God's destiny and design into the earthly realm. It has happened before in all historic awakenings, and I am talking about an ordinary folks who surrender to an extraordinary God. Will you open the doors of heaven for your city today? And I'm telling you, when I read it, I said to Ron, I said, that's hope. That is Hope International. That's who we are because that's the people that are here. You are all the people that say, I am surrendering all, God, and I'm going after you, and I'm looking from heaven to earth to bring down, to bring that resource, that conduit down to heaven. And so what I want to talk real quickly this morning about is thinking towards Christmas even, but what does it take? What does it take to be that type of person that is so consecrated, so set apart for God, so surrendered to God? And so I went back and I looked at when Mary and Joseph in Luke 2, I believe it is, yeah, Luke 2, and Mary and Joseph are now taking their baby Jesus, their son Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the priests as an offering. And that word present It means that they didn't, when you look at it in Greek, and I won't go there, but when you look at it, it's way beyond that, hey, we just happen to be passing through Jerusalem. Oh, look, there's the temple. Why don't we take Jesus? Come on, we got him with us. Let's go ahead and just take him and present him on in. No, that word present means that this was a very strategic, planned, very orchestrated event for them. Nothing haphazard about this. Nothing casual about presenting their son to the priest in the temple. It was planned. They needed resources, finances for the trip. They needed to buy the turtle doves or the pigeons to be able to present as their offering. So when we talk about them going there, it was a very expressed purpose that they went for, and it was to present their Jesus. And so it was a very, to them, it would be a very solemn, a very holy occasion. Who's translating, Paulo, as I see him laughing? Is it coming out good, Paulo? Okay. So this is a consecrated, holy moment when you present something before God, before his throne. So there's a word. I want you to say that. Present.
Present.
Say it again. Present. It means to surrender. It means as an offer or a sacrifice to God. So for them, this is what it really communicated. It meant that they were surrendering Jesus to God. They were surrendering him under God's supervision. They were offering him and surrendering him for God's provision and possession, and that God would use him however he wished, however he had already preordered for Jesus. This was in their presenting, right? Now, well, I don't plan meals real well, but most of us plan meals. We plan our vacations. You know, we plan our wardrobe. We think about these things in advance, and we take time to get them ready. But I want to ask you, when was the last time that you planned to present something to God? That you got the provision that you needed, that you set the time apart that was necessary for it. That's what we're talking about today. So this is, I think, why Paul then, when he was talking to the Romans, and he said to them, and I'll read Romans 12, and it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, he says a few things in this scripture right off the bat. He says, I beseech you. That word beseech is like, it means in the Greek that they get as close as they possibly can to the person. And it's, if you could picture that, it's like Paul is on his knees begging the Romans, I beseech you to present yourself. I beseech you, I beg of you, for your benefit, for my benefit, for all of us, I beseech you to present yourself a living sacrifice. Now, Romans also understood military terms. So in the military, the commander would call the troops in, and he would beseech them. He would exhort them. And he would let them know, this is going to be a tough battle, but I want you to fight to the victory. Fight. Don't give up in it. Now, he's talking about a living sacrifice here, right? Okay, well, again, everybody understood sacrifices. It was happening all over still. So animal sacrifices are being made. But that sacrifice, that animal is already dead when it gets put on the altar. So it's not climbing off. But Paul's talking about a living sacrifice, one that can climb off the altar if it wants to. And so he brings this all up. And the reason I have Mark up here today is because he also is talking to us about another scripture that it says, well, I don't know where the scripture is, but it does say, you know this, that we are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. Well, the position of a priest is that they did two things. They would worship and they would bring sacrifice. They would worship and they bring their sacrifice. But we're not talking an outward sacrifice here because Jesus already took care of the once and for all sacrifice of sin. We're not talking about a sin sacrifice today. When he talks about a living sacrifice, it's not that you are a sinner and you have to bring, Jesus did that. He was the perfect lamb. He was the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. Whoops. Okay. So this isn't it. So this sacrifice that Paul is saying is because it's an inward thing. This is a spiritual sacrifice to come forth like it. So I just have to paint a picture. You know, I love to paint pictures as we go through this. So, Matt, can I have you, please? Matt, can I have both of you, please, come? And Gary, let me have you, too. Okay? So we're just going to say that we know that we're three parts. You know, we have a body, we have a soul, but we are a spirit, right? Well, through life, our body finds out pretty quickly, our carnal man discovers pretty quickly that it can be in charge because everything comes from outside. And then this body tells the soul how it's going to respond to what the body says and how it's going to think and what's going to come forth out of it. And the spirit, well, you know, for the most part, it's just going along for the ride. So would you three hold hands? You're the body. You're in charge. Okay? So go ahead and take this body wherever you think the body wants to go. Okay, the body always doesn't lead us in very healthy places, though. The body can, you know, go after cravings, go after lusts of the flesh, you know, all these things that the body wants us to do. But when we make a decision to follow Christ, it actually reverses. Stay connected. It will reverse because your spirit now begins to grow and your spirit becomes healthy and walks with God and hears God and sees God. And so now your spirit begins to lead by saying, no, soul, you're not going to think about that anymore. You're not going to use those words anymore. you're going to love. And so the spirit begins to lead the soul, and the soul starts to tell the body, you know what? You don't need that anymore. You don't even want that anymore. You're delivered from that. You have been set free from that. And so now the spirit begins to lead the soul, and the body. And that's who we are. That's how we're supposed to walk, right? So when he's saying, I beseech you, I beg you to do this. So we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, because this is our reasonable service as priests of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, thank you, guys. You're healed. So there's a sacrifice that would take place then, even as the priests would continue, and it was called the burnt offering. And the burnt offering, again, is a very familiar thing. Ron, can you give Mark those two items, please? Because the burnt offering is also called the ascending one. The ascending, we know that because he says when we bring this sacrifice or our worship before him, that it arises, somebody prayed or something this morning about it arising to him as a sweet-smelling fragrance. So the sacrifice that we bring in our worship as us, as the living sacrifice, releases this fragrance unto God. Abraham learned this really good. You know, when God told him that he was to take his son up to Mount Moriah and that he would be making a sacrifice with his son, he would sacrifice him. And you know what's so amazing to me is that Abraham, out of obedience, again, remember, this is an outward thing happening with Abraham, but out of obedience, Abraham takes his son, gets the wood, says, okay, come on, we're going to go up. What did he say? He didn't say, Isaac, I got bad news for you today. No, he said, come on, son, we're going up to worship. We're going to go worship God up on the mountain, right? And when he got to a certain point, he turned around and he said to him, we'll be back. We'll be back. Now, think about that. I don't know about you, but if I was heading up that, I honestly don't know what would be coming out of my heart. Would it be like, oh, gosh, I'm going to be obedient, but I got to tell you, I am not happy about this, what God's asked me to do. Please don't send me to Africa, God. You know, I got to do this. I got to go. I got to say, oh, my gosh. But see, that's the fragrance that God captured that day from Abraham. Was it wasn't that his sacrifice, his son, didn't get burned, didn't go through that fire, didn't have to do that because God said, oh, wait. Oh, do you smell that? The fragrance of his heart, the sound of his heart, it's just like the frequency of heaven. It's saying, yeah, we get to worship you, God, and we're going to come back down, and we're coming because God's going to resurrect my son, even if he does take him. My trust is in him. And so God hears that, and he smells that, and he brings in the sacrifice for Abraham to have. But the point is for us is that it's in the inside. God's listening for our heart. He knows the intents of our heart. He hears it. He smells it. And we get to bring it to him when we do this. Ah, oh, thank you, Jesus. So what we're going to do is I wanted to walk you through, because again, we say living sacrifice, but we don't have a clue what sacrifice is, especially in America. We really don't have a clue. But again, he was talking to people who understood a sacrifice, and the priests especially. So one of the first things, now remember, Mark is functioning as the priest that he is. And they would take, people would bring their best. It wasn't just any old sheep out of the lot. They would look. They would study their sheep. They would know them. And they would know that's the best one. That is the spotless one. That one doesn't even have a blemish on it. And they would present, they would purposely bring that one to the priest to be prepared. And so in the preparation time now, the very first thing the priest would do is that they would have to... this sounds gory to us, honestly, but it's the picture, honestly, that God wants us to understand. Do you get it? So I'll talk to you about each one. But the first thing was to cut the throat so that the blood could be drained out. Because Leviticus tells us that the life is in the blood. And when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood for us. His DNA is in the blood. When we take his blood, we are taking his DNA into our DNA, and that's why we can be transformed into the image and the likeness of God. But in the sacrifice, it means that we give it all to him. Let me tell you about this. So if we're going to be prepared, now let me just say, you know, Ron taught last week, talked about that we are peculiar people. A peculiar person will allow themselves to have this take place spiritually in your life. I am not talking about physical here. Let me get that straight. This is not a physical action. This is a spiritual action that takes place, okay? Because when you do this, it's like, God, I'm trading my life for your life. And I want you to see, people came up and actually threw dollars. I thank you, Pastor Kirk, for the day you preached and you said, listen, if you're going to throw shoes today, you better just know that you don't get to take them back. Because if you're going to trade with the word or with what God is, truth that God's releasing into you, then why are we taking it back? But I love what it has done for us because it has matured us to know that, you know what? It's beyond saying, oh, that's good. I knew that. No, it made us realize, oh my gosh, that is a truth I've never heard before, and I want to capture that. And so as the trade of like making a transaction, a legal transaction, we're throwing shoes. And I encourage you to still do that. Yet when there's money being thrown up here, listen, money represents our life. It's an exchange that we make for life. So don't get caught up in, oh, they're throwing money. It simply is an exchange that someone is saying, I am exchanging what I thought I knew for a truth that I've just captured, okay? Yeah. So that'll go into the offering. All right. So here we go. You've got the neck already done? It can get quite messy, can't it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, he's taking care of that. That's it. Chop away. Okay. Listen, being a priest wasn't a pretty sight. You know, if you had to do that every morning and every evening, can you imagine what that would be like? But I will lose my life. Mine. Anybody ever see Nemo? Mine, 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 mine. That's mine, mine, mine. That's how we look at life. My life, mine. I'm going to lose my life to gain his life. And so it says that we need to die daily. Daily we get to do this. To deny myself, I get to do it daily. Whew. The next thing that what priests would do is he would chop off the head. Chop off the head. Why? Because the head represents the authority. We just saw this in this who was leading who, okay? The head. We cannot be in charge with our head, with our soul. We have to be saying, like Jesus said, not my will, but yours, Father. Your will. So I renounce my right, let's say, to be free in my will, or just to have my will be free is probably a better way to put that, right? So every time my will gets in the way, then I am choosing to do what I want versus what God wants. But I'm not going to let my head decide what I am going to do or what I get to do. I am exchanging my will for his will. And thus, the priest would cut off the head. Can you bring that down and put it on the... We're going to say this is our altar today. I don't know if they did it piece by piece, but... thank you. Let's put it like that. I'm sorry, that was even a little too much for me. Okay, the next thing was that the skin was removed. The skin was removed. You know why? Because we cannot have defense mechanisms or protective mechanisms over our own self-righteousness as a barrier. So God wants us to be vulnerable and transparent before Him, but also with each other. And in order to do that, we have to be able to trust. So He's saying we're going to remove all of our self-protection, and we're going to put on His armor of light and His armor of righteousness and the armor of God, and that is our protection. Huh. All right. Next, He splits the body open. He still splits the body open and then washes all the inner parts, all the organs, because God wants to purify our hearts. It says that we are refined and washed in the water of His living waters, His word, in His presence. And so we have to be willing to open our heart, open up our life. This is really what a living sacrifice is really all about. Everything belongs to You, God. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to hide anything from You. Somebody said this morning, go into your closets. Go into your closets and just allow Him to go in and breathe in each one. And then the last thing that He did was that He finally chopped the legs off. Because we can't walk in our own ways. If we're going to surrender daily and walk according to how the Spirit leads us, then we're going to surrender our feet and our hands. You know, He's calling us the greater things. He's calling us to do those greater things that He did. So we have to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. These are the mature sons of God. When we're led by Him, we are the mature sons of God. So it's an everyday surrendering to God by saying, God, this is Your day, and I belong to You because I am Your son. I am Your daughter. I'm just going to say this scripture as He's finishing up. It's Galatians 2:20 in the Passion. I don't know if I could read it. Yeah, let me just read it. This is the Passion Translation. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of His cross crucified with Him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives His life through me. Catch this next one. And we live in union as one. Amen. My life is now empowered by the faith of the Son of God. Who loves me so much that He gave Himself for me and dispenses His life into mine. Man, that's the ultimate trade right there. But it's the faith of God I live in. It's not faith in God or in Him. It's the faith of Him that now lives in you. So when we say faith is the substance, whoa. I mean, that's the faith of God. Nothing's impossible with our God, right? Phew. Ah, I beseech you, and I told Ron, I beseech him and I both to daily do this together. I said, I'm preaching to myself. God has had this on my heart for a good couple months about a living sacrifice. And so I am beseeching us today, Ron, that we do this daily. We surrender our day, ourselves to God. But you know, it does take practice. It takes every revelation is something that we have to be acted on. Remember, Mary and Joseph presented Jesus. They didn't do it just, again, not a haphazard thing. And it's not something that we do just once or twice. And let me just say this. This isn't something that just, poof, you get saved. And it's like, oh, I was a living sacrifice. And that's all done. It's not something that just takes place because you got saved. Because according to this, it says that we have to make a choice to do this. That we have to come with saying, I will present myself. So today we're going to do a little practice with that as soon as our whole lamb gets on the altar here. Present myself, my hands, my feet, my skin, my protection that I placed over myself even, my innards and the heart that's been washed and purified. Whew, thank you. Go ahead and wash it. Thank you. Wow, we receive that now. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Squeeze out all the toxins. <Come on. laughs> You know, they say when you're squeezed, what's on the inside comes out. So, all right. And then there's a sweet smelling fragrance that comes forth from that sacrifice. Holy unto God. Thank you. Now, again, revelation is something to be acted upon. And sometimes we call it practice. But even though you're practicing or you're doing it, let's say, in this earthly realm, you step into the spirit realm when you do it. And therefore, it's a very real thing. And so, again, I am beseeching you, let's put it that way, to present yourself this morning. And if you would like to do that, I would like to ask you if you may stand, please. I have a prayer that we're going to pray. And we'll have it up on the board. But then afterwards, I have, I actually printed it out if you wanted to take it home so that you could do it daily, okay? So that'll be available. And at the end of today, our prophetic team is going to come up and minister. And we talked about that today is a very strategic day even for that because many of you have had words spoken. This has been a month of prophecy coming forth and being released on you. And so some of the words, it's like, God, I'm not sure what that means, or I just need more confirmation about it. I want to encourage you to come up when the team is here, okay, at the end. But for right now, we're just going to do an act of saying, God, I'm coming to present myself, okay? And so when it says step forward, I want you to know why you're stepping forward. The kingdom of God, heaven is so close. It says in the word that it's as close as your hand is to your face. It's not out there someplace. It's right here. And so when it says to take a step forward, it's just, again, recognizing that you're stepping out of this earthly realm and presenting yourself before the throne of God. That's how close heaven is. Okay? All right. Everybody ready? We're going to read this together. Okay. Can everybody see that? Okay. Father, I thank you that you have made a way for me to come into your presence. By faith, I step forward. Whoops, I step in. Into the realm of your presence, into the holy place in the heavenly tabernacle. I stand before the altar of incense and present myself as a living sacrifice to you, Jesus, my high priest. Today, Jesus, I desire and choose as an act of my will to advocate the throne of my heart. I ask you to remove my head as I surrender to your lordship. I choose not my will, but your will be done in my life. I give up my right to free will and choose to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I ask you to skin me and remove every covering that I have placed around my life. Remove everything I use to make myself acceptable to you and to others. I renounce all dead works. Remove all my masks, pretenses, defense, and coping mechanisms. I ask you to split me wide open, down to my bones and marrow. Cleanse my heart and its motives. Purify the thoughts and intentions of my heart. Restore my heart. Give me your desires. Renew my mind. Heal my emotions and strengthen my will. I ask you to remove my legs. I surrender to walk you. I choose to do only what I see the Father doing. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. I ask you to crucify and kill my flesh. I choose to deny myself and all my rights. I give you my life to gain your life. I am dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Now I step back. Now pause right there. Pause. This morning, a word came in prayer that God said, I am the God of the pregnant pause. I wish I would have had that to put in there. Because don't run in and say all that before you stand and let God fill you and receive what he has. He is the God of the pregnant pause and wait, pause and receive. And after you have received, then just take a step back and say, I choose to let you do your works through me as I become a channel for your kingdom to manifest in this world around me. In Hebrews 5, there was a scripture that says milk is for the infants, but solid food is for the mature. And it goes on and says, because of practice, because of acting on revelation. That's the mature sons of God.